Advent celebrates the weeks leading up to the coming birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, something that not many at the time knew or were aware of. To say that a lot of people were caught off guard by or even unaware of Jesus' birth, that would be a big understatement. On the 15th, the Sunday of our Christmas party, and the 22nd, the Sunday before Christmas, which are the third and fourth weeks of Advent, we will look at Jesus' first coming, his birth, from the perspective of some of those who knew and some of those who didn't know, how their lives were affected and how their lives were forever changed. But we'll also use the season of Advent as a reminder of his promised second coming, the promise of eternal hope, joy, love, and peace. Again, from the perspective of some of those who know of his second coming and those who don't know. We'll let the Lord remind those of us who do know today what that means for us as disciples who have the incredible privilege of telling the story of Christmas. Christ's birth, yes, but also of what Christ's birth means for us in our life. Remember, we're witnesses. And what that can mean for those who don't understand who Jesus is or know of his promised second coming, what it can mean for them in their life. We have the privilege of telling the gospel story, and what better way than to share both the Christmas story, Jesus' first coming, and the story of his promised second coming during this amazing Christmas season. But before we navigate our hearts and our spirits into how the Lord would speak to us in that way, I have two more messages on the Holy Spirit. As promised today, I will begin to unwrap in detail the manifestation gifts described by Apostle Paul in Corinthians chapter 12. We talked 2 weeks ago about the different giftings described by the Apostle Paul, the ministry gifts he described in Ephesians, and the motivational gifts he described in Romans. But all those giftings in us are anemic. You know, you understand anemic? Like without energy, weak. They're anemic if not fueled, energized, powered by the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? How do we receive that power connection to the Holy Spirit? It's simple. We seek, we ask, and we receive the infilling through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that? Do you hunger for that? Do you want more Holy Spirit power in your life, in your walk with Christ? Then let Joy and I pray for you to receive that. We've talked about the manifestation gifts that begin to appear and operate in your life when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those are the gifts that I will unpack in detail starting today. Let me be clear. It's not the manifestation gifts described by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that gives power to the rest of my giftings, that gives power to my walk with Christ. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that does this. But once I receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, once I receive the promised power of Holy Spirit, the manifestation gifts begin to appear and operate in my life. Okay, so let's jump right in. You ready? Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 8, where Paul says, "To one there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom." We talked last week about how this is not wisdom in general, but a message or a word of wisdom. It's not the wisdom we walk around with. It's the Holy Spirit depositing a specific word or message of wisdom in you for practical conduct or action. It's not a vocal or spoken gift, okay? This is input, not output. Have you ever heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out, or rubbish in, rubbish out? I said rubbish because that's what the British say, and Clive's not even here to hear me say that today. But anyway, rubbish in, rubbish out, garbage in, garbage out. Often people speak of this in terms of computers. For example, if I enter wrong or bad information into a computer program or app, I will likely get wrong or bad information or results to come out of it. We are very much like that. If we take in bad or incorrect information, and what I mean by that is not just see it or read it, but literally take it in, believe it, and live our lives as though this information is good and true. If we do that with bad information, then what we offer back, our language, our thoughts, the intentions of our heart, they will be bad or incorrect as well. Picture this. We are like sponges. If the water we take in to fill us is pure, like water in this picture being the thoughts, things we read, things we hear, etc., then when we share what we have inside with somebody else, or when the circumstances of life, for example, bring stress and pressure, and what we have inside is literally squeezed out, then what we have to offer, what comes out, is pure. Our words, our thoughts, the intentions of our heart, the intentions or our emotions as well. If, however, what we take in is impure, then what we share with others, or when the pressure and stress of life forces it out, like when we disagree with our spouse, for example, what I give out will be impure as well. God's word is pure. Spend time in his word. Holy Spirit deposits are pure. Soak them up when they're offered. A word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, as an example, is pure water for our soul. We would do well to take in the things that are pure. We'll talk shortly about the ways in which these pure things can and will come out for the benefit of the whole church. Okay? All right, so Paul continues in verse 8. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Again, not knowledge in general, not my everyday walking around knowledge, but a specific Holy Spirit word of knowledge. But you say, how do I know, Pastor Gary, whether a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is from me or a gift of the Holy Spirit? If that thought came from me or from a deposit of the Holy Spirit, well, that's a good question. I would say, have you asked for the promised baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled in this way? If so, then you will likely know when this type of Holy Spirit given word of wisdom or word of knowledge is deposited in you. It is wisdom or knowledge that is not, I say not, wisdom or knowledge that is not typically present in you in the normal course of your life. So it would be a word of wisdom or knowledge that would come upon you, not be part of the wisdom or knowledge that God gives you to navigate the everyday things of your life. It would be evident that this was a new and probably immediate download. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the person of God who is the agent of motion, but he uses us in the context of these gifts of the Spirit. We're not mindless robots controlled by the whims of the Holy Spirit. We are his creation and an active and spiritually aware participant in God's plans and purposes. So when the Holy Spirit moves in this way, we're not just aware, but literally part of the spiritual motion he is creating. It will be evident when this type of deposit, word of wisdom or word of knowledge, is made in you. Evident to you, and as the Lord leads you in how to use this wisdom or knowledge to others around you. So what is the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge? Remember, we're talking about gifts that are good for the church. I'll give you an example. Maybe there is a need in the church, maybe unknown to most or unknown to everyone. Maybe this need is particularly challenging or difficult. The word of wisdom would be the insight, a discernment, or understanding, recognition of the need in this case. The word of knowledge is the clarity that comes on the doctrine, the spiritual truths, and even the practical steps within the church that would be needed to carry out the steps to meet the need. And let me just say this. You can educate yourself for life, and you can live to be 100 plus years old, but you will never gain all of the spiritual wisdom or spiritual knowledge you need to navigate a life of serving the Lord for the good of the church. We need these Holy Spirit deposits at different times in our life so that we have what we need to navigate our life. That is why we need the Holy Spirit downloads, to help us help the church in times when the answers are literally not within us. Remember, these gifts are not for our own benefit. They are for the benefit of the greater church. Okay? All right, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This is not the faith by which we come to a saving relationship with Jesus, the Christian faith described in Hebrews 11:6. That's not this faith. It is a special faith, often working in conjunction with the gifts of miracles and of healing. It's sometimes suggested that this is the type of faith that Jesus was talking about when Peter marveled at the fig tree, which Jesus, earlier in the day, had commanded to never produce fruit again. Do you remember this? Jesus is walking with his disciples, and Jesus commands this fig tree to never produce fruit again. And now they're back, and Peter is marveling at this withered fig tree. I mean, he's amazed. And as they pass by it again, the fig tree being withered, he's remarking at this. And Jesus, this is how Jesus responds to Peter's wonder in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. He responds by saying, "Have faith in God." Okay? Now, the Greek of this verse reads literally, "Have the faith of God." Okay? Mark 11:22, the original Greek translates, "Have the faith of God." Probably because he continues in the next verse to say, and this scripture is probably familiar to you, that with this type of faith, one could say to a mountain, "Go throw yourself into the sea." You've heard this scripture before. And to most of us, that's like unfathomable to say to a mountain, "Go into the sea," and literally the mountain would be lifted up and thrown into the sea. I said this at our men's discipleship group a couple of Thursdays ago, that the promises that God makes in his word, or the suggestions or commands that he gives in his word, he does knowing he has given us the full capability to do it. He doesn't make promises he doesn't keep, and he doesn't command us or suggest we should do something if he's not prepared to give us everything we need to do it. That's not a game he plays. If he promises something, he keeps his promises. If he commands us to do something, he gives us what we need to do it. Now, maybe in this case, Jesus was using a word picture of a mountain to represent something in the church that seems immovable to us, like a mountain. But he tells us, and by his proclamation, we are fully enabled to have the faith of God to move it, whatever the mountain represents. The gift of faith from the Holy Spirit might just be the deposit we need to take on moving a mountain for the church. Okay? Most of you are aware that this facility that we use, Astropolis, is in a bit of an unknown state. The new owners would like to tear it down and build a new facility on this property, or maybe remodel the existing one, but it's basically in an unknown state. And as part of the Bratislava City Church family, that puts us, Bratislava International Fellowship, and all of the congregations really that gather here, in a bit of an unknown state as well. We believe that we'll be here through the year 2020, but the Lord will still need to provide a facility when the Astropolis owners decide to remodel, rebuild, or whatever. For a church, these kinds of transitions can seem as big as a mountain. And Jesus is telling us to have the faith of God to see that mountain move. And we will do that. Let us seek the gift of faith and use it to move mountains. Let's continue. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. This is the one spiritual gift to which Paul actually attaches the word gift. And they are plural, by the way, both the word gift and the word healing. Gifts of healings. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament is someone described as having the gift of healing. That might suggest that there are different healing gifts, for example, physical, emotional, spiritual maybe. But this should come as no surprise. The Great Commission, as recorded by Mark in chapter 16 of his epistle, says that many signs would accompany those who believe and carry out the Great Commission, including the laying on of hands upon sick people who will get well. Now, stay grounded and centered with me as we discuss these miracle gifts. It's not the one through whom the Holy Spirit is operating that is doing the healing. It is God and only God. But our obedience and our availability as disciples provides multiple conduits for this miraculous work. The only conduits? Of course not. God will and does heal in many different ways. But if Scripture tells us to lay hands on and believe for miraculous healing in people, then we can and we should. I've told the story of my friend Max, who I believe had a gift of healing. But not everyone that Max prayed for was healed. And hopefully it doesn't come as a surprise to you, but Jesus did not heal everyone who came to him for whatever reason. On one occasion, it was described as a lack of faith, again, suggesting a strong tie between faith and healing. By the way, I will never say to someone, you weren't healed or you're not being healed because of your lack of faith. I'm not God, and I cannot measure the faith of any person. Instead, I will continue to pray for them and encourage them to stay steadfast in their faith that God will heal them. Remember, we are here to build each other up, to consider how we may spur one another on, right? Okay. So while Jesus did not heal every person who came to him, the Bible does say that he healed every disease and every affliction. So clearly there's no boundary, physical sickness, spiritual sickness, emotional sickness, to what God can and will heal. The Lord wants us to believe that, and to have faith for healing of all afflictions. For the good of whom? For the good of the church, right? Okay. At some point, we'd like to teach on healing. There's so much affliction in this world. And I'm not just talking about physical diseases. Depression, anxiety, self-doubt. Many things that can oppress, not possess, but oppress people both inside and outside the church. Believers and non-believers. And we, as a body of believers, need to take authority over these things to be the Holy Spirit's conduit of faith, of healing for the body of Christ. We need the gifts of healings. The church is not a cruise ship where we come to be served and enjoy the 24-hour buffet. It is a battleship where we each have roles and responsibilities in the Great Commission. And sometimes we get wounded in the battle. So, like a field hospital in the middle of the battle, we come into the midst of the church to get bandaged, encouraged, and healed. And after we're made better or well, we need to turn around and help the next wounded soldier walking through the door into that same place of bandaging, encouragement, and healing to receive what we received. Verse 10, to another, miraculous powers. In the Greek, this is written as operations of miracles and translates as operation of superpowers. I love that picture. I really do. Superpowers. Stelkas, Shannon and Anna Armitage's youngest daughter, after she's gotten to know you, she likes to tell you what she believes your special power or your superpower is. If you see her, you should ask her. She has great discernment for that. Again, like the gifts of healings, this is written as plural, the operations of miracles. This is not a gift that makes you a miracle worker. Remember, God does the miracles. God does the healing, but he will gladly do them through you. Again, the gift of miraculous powers is likely tied to the gift of faith. And what is a miracle? In its simplest terms, a miracle is an event or action that contradicts known scientific laws, often called signs and wonders in the New Testament. Examples from the Bible include the supernatural deliverances from prison for Paul and Silas, for example, or Peter. Pastor Sheldon told of Elymas, the sorcerer, being struck with blindness. The raising of the dead, like Dorcas, for example. Remember, God is the only one who can perform miracles. God is the only one who can heal. But through the Holy Spirit, he will heal through his faithful believers, and he will work miracles through his faithful believers. Next week, we will look at the final four manifestation gifts described in chapter 12. Prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Today, I want to finish this way. As you take in and spiritually digest all that I have shared from Paul's instruction on the manifestation gifts, if you understand nothing else, I want you to understand three simple principles. The manifestation gifts of the Spirit will appear in your life as outward evidence of being filled through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The gifts themselves are not the power which Jesus instructed us to wait for. It is the power which is needed and meant to fuel your motivation gifts, ministry gifts, and indeed your entire walk with Christ. But these gifts are the manifestation and the evidence of this Holy Spirit power present and working in you. They are given to you for the benefit, the building up, the encouragement, and the comfort of the whole church. Don't hunger for and seek the gifts. Hunger for and seek the giver. Seek the Holy Spirit and the empowerment he desires to give you. Then, and only then, will the power and the gifts come to you as you move in your Holy Spirit-empowered walk with Christ. Let's pray.